Blog Talk Radio.
Can't afford food or
conditioning, electric bill, telephone bill. I mean, you know, when you get cut down and cut off, it's, you know, life can hit you really hard, you know. And not to any fault of your own, it just happens, you know. One day, boom, the axe falls and you lost your job, you know. Or your wife lost her job, or, you know, your kid gets sick, or you get sick, or, you know, God forbid. And, you know, these things happen. And you just never quite know what's going to hit you next. And, you know, I've been broke, you know, real broke. And, you know, things happen, and then you come back, and things get better. You just got to get better. And you got to keep believing things are going to get better. And, yeah, you can throw a little prayer in there all the time and know, but there's a wonderful magic, if you will, in positive thinking. And, you know, I've been trying to be a positive thinker my whole life. I mean, I've run into many, and I'm going to read a few things here that don't sound so positive, but, you know, in their own way, they are. I try never to get too down. I get mad. I get angry. I get, you know, upset. But, you know, I try not to do that, you know, where it would jeopardize my livelihood or my life, you know, in the sense that, anger just eats you alive. You know, it creates this cancer within you, you know, and it's hatred and cynicism and so on. And it just makes everything bad, you know. So it's like, to me, you just accept your circumstances and move on, you know. Move on with life. And until you get to the point of death. And I published this on September 20th. It's a short poem. It's called Breathing of the Bones. And it goes like this. Last lives breathe the air of time beneath the blue sky of ambition. Bones breathe memories, and skulls emptied of thoughts bask in sunlight. Where have the lost generations gone? Pleiadians embark on journeys into darkness, lighting the way for sojourners to follow. One night I see their light at the end of death's dark hallway. And, yeah. So, anyway. Let me just go on here. I'm going to. I guess everybody has heard about Romney's 47% by now. And Romney, of course, for anybody, international readers or listeners, are, you know, Romney is running for the Republican candidate, you know, president as a Republican candidate. And, you know, this kind of like, it bothered me tremendously when he said that. And I wrote this. Romney's 47% are 99% of all Americans. I've yet to see a more arrogant imbecile run for public office. There is very little, if anything, to like about Romney. He and his wife remind me of the characters on the television series Mad Men. Their lifestyle, morality, fashion are a complete throwback to the late 50s and early 60s culture of Madison Avenue advertising firms. Their entire existence is dependent on the delusion of false values and mammon, the god of money. Everything about the Romneys suggests their divorce from the economic reality faced by the majority of the American people. Romney has no morality. His entire public and private life is nothing more than a series of manipulations and destruction of people's lives and livelihoods. His cynicism was completely obvious to everyone in the Mother Jones video. He was speaking to his base when he said he didn't care about half of America's population. He didn't care about them because he didn't pay taxes. They didn't pay taxes and were dependent upon the government. He cynically overlooked that all of the 47% are grossly underpaid, under unemployed or underemployed, and underwater in debt because of his and the Republican economic policies of the last 30 years. He knows that his and Ryan's policies would devastate the 47% and ruin the remaining 52% that he needs to get elected. The only people that would benefit from a Romney presidency would be the 1% that he is a part of. I am disgusted by Romney. His disdain and indifference to the American people is sociopathic. Electing this man as president would be suicidal for America. His qualifications for presidency are only that he was the token head of a vulture capital firm, Bain Capital. Bain was founded by an Israeli Mossad agent. Romney was brought into the firm because of his father's connections, and they needed a token figurehead, not because of anything he had was capable of doing. His obvious amorality, arrogance, and greed were the perfect qualifications for the figurehead job of the CEO of Bain Capital. So, fellow 99%, where does that leave us? As disappointing as Obama's presidency has been, 4 years of a Romney Republican presidency would be completely devastating to us. I know there are many people who will vote for this vulture because they are vultures themselves. However, anyone else who votes for Romney is a complete fool. Now, it kind of tells you, can't stand it. Yeah, let's go on to some lighter stuff, which I thought was kind of funny. Kate Middleton and the revealing of the Royals. This was so hysterical, actually. I had to write something on it. And it's called Kate Middleton and the Revealing of the Royals. I published this on September 16th. By now, most who are interested have seen the nude photos of Kate and Willie at play on their honeymoon. It was only a matter of time before someone exposed their frolicking in the sunlight of world fame. I find it strange how any security service assigned to the royals during their honeymoon could allow photographers anywhere near the royal couple's honeymoon retreat. Any astute observer of these revealing photos of the couple could easily assume that the pictures might have been taken by a security guard. Maybe he or she had a quarrel with the royal couple or just couldn't resist taking a few keepsake pictures of the pair on the balcony to add a few British pounds to their retirement pension. I'm certain there are other photos or videos of the couple that haven't been seen yet that are even more revealing. Now, I wanted to just say aside, I wrote this on the 16th when these things first appeared in the... or was it the Irish magazine, I believe, or the Closer or something like that? And then I was certain there was going to be more coming out. And then within 2 days, they announced that there was another 26 pictures or something that were published by the Italian magazines, Chi. So. I was almost certain some more was going to come out of this. But anyway, let me continue. Perhaps the most revealing photo was the one where Willie was putting sun lotion on Katie's bum, and that's what British call the rear end. In this day of embarrassing celebrity exposures, I don't believe too many people were surprised by these pictures. Actually, Kate has a very nice body and will probably be more comfortable being seen in bathing suits and a skimpy celebrity attire. It may not be as bad a public relations problem for the royals as it first appears. Personally, I was never interested in royal watching until lately. The Prince Harry photos were hysterical. He wound up being sent into combat in Afghanistan. Now Kate and Willie have been humbled and stripped naked of their royal refinements. I can see Willie being sent off to rescue someone in his helicopter while Kate is sentenced to the Tower of London. Kate is a beautiful and lovely lady. She really has nothing but the loss of royal modesty to be ashamed of. And many couples today post their honeymoon pictures on Facebook. So my advice to the royal couple is to keep smiling and be cool about the whole thing. Everyone has been naked and seen someone else naked at some time in their lives. And a lot of people make their living by posing for movies or pictures naked. Where would Victoria's Secret models be without their nude photo albums, or A-list movie stars without their Playboy centerfolds? So Kate, just grin and bear it. And be thankful you are great looking and have a great body that the world can admire. Imagine the nightmare of embarrassment and humiliation if Camilla and Charles had been photographed naked. Aside from being a revolting picture of Camilla naked, it might remind everyone of Charles' famous wish to be Camilla's tampon. Anybody remember that? My God, back in the 90s there, when when they exposed the relationship between Camilla and Charles, and somebody tapped their phones and released the horrible conversation thing where he was talking to her and saying that he wished he were her tampon. So the royals are kind of twisted, man. So anyway, I don't know if anybody watches Good Morning America. Well, I was watching it the other day. Actually, it was 9/11. On September 11th, I happened to be tuning it in, and ever since Amy Robach was hired away from NBC on there, I've been enjoying it because I enjoy watching Amy Robach, but I really, really was just turned off and disgusted by the recent events on that show, and I'm so glad that they finally straightened it out. I watched it the other day, and they have Amy co-hosting. So, but let me just go back, and I just wanted to read this because I noticed today they hit it came out today in the on Yahoo, I believe it was. I saw it on the news that Good Morning America, which is a daily talk show, morning talk show, television talk show on ABC, is number one, and even with Robin Roberts, sick and gone. Amy. I know that Amy has done a lot to. I mean, she's just a wonderful looking woman, and a great host. So I was grateful that they put her back on, because it was amazing what they did. And it's really funny that after I wrote this, I'm not saying that this had any effect, but I assume that what happened was enough people got sick and tired of watching this thing, and they complained because they just had enough of the insult and enough of this Robin bullshit, where she's, announced, oh, she's coming back every 5 minutes, or she's sick. Everybody knows she was. But anyway, let me, I think I stated this a little more eloquently in my article, and it's called Celebrating the Joys of Dying in Disease with Team Robin of Good Morning America. I have never seen such an incompetent... hang on a second. I have never seen such an incompetent production as the recent Good Morning America show on ABC. Since their co-host Robin Roberts has developed bone cancer, so has the entire show. I'll be honest, I never watched the show until Amy Robach was hired away from NBC. And within Amy's first week, the jealousy of her teammates seethed into the camera and became obvious, especially with Robin. Amy Robach is so great, she sucks all the oxygen out of the room when she's on the air. The less than charismatic members of Team Robin, including Robin herself, immediately wilted next to Amy. Then the trouble began. Within a week of Amy's debut, Robin realized she couldn't compete with Amy's great looks and personality, and she suddenly takes off a week as Amy continues as the perfect co-host. Then, upon Robin's return, Amy is nowhere to be seen, and GMA ratings drop. And Robin takes a dramatic step and gets sick on the air and can't finish the show. And suddenly it's announced she's not coming back. And then the next day it's announced that her mother died. Then after a week with her family, she enters a hospital ready for her treatments, which will incapacitate her for 6 months if it doesn't kill her. And all the while, Team Robin announces her illness every 5 minutes and confirms that she is coming back to the show, and they completely ignore and talk over Amy Robach. In another stupid move last week, they replaced Amy with some mousy-looking unknown reporter for the week until their ratings plummeted further and they brought back Amy. On her first day back, they suddenly announced Jessica Simpson will be co-hosting. It's a sickening and desperate display of stupidity and jealousy. It looks like Robin Roberts is directing the show from her hospital bed, ensuring her name is mentioned every 5 minutes and that Amy doesn't have a shot at co-hosting the program. If I were producing GMA, I'd tell everyone to knock off the Robin's dying crap and get on with keeping the show alive. 1 week of Amy Robach as co-host turned Robin into a sad, sick memory. Oh, poor Robin, everyone said. But no one wants to watch Robin dying except Robin. And her ego has become so bloated by her undeserved ratings. All of it's because all the other networks' morning shows are so incredibly bad. It is becoming painfully obvious that GMA's producers and Robin Roberts want to ensure that if she dies, so dies Good Morning America. So today I heard that Jessica Simpson was going to co-host the show with George Stephanopoulos, and Amy Robach will sit there like a statue or be reassigned to a reporting job. It is the ultimate humiliation for her, and I refuse to watch any more bubble-headed blonde bimbos in the morning. Jessica Simpson is the ultimate bubble-headed blonde bimbo, now teamed up with the other bubble-headed blonde on the show. And bringing Jessica Simpson to deflect Amy Robach's sunshine from her viewers was a stupid, blundering move that will bring GMA spiraling downward out of control and hit bottom unless Robin dies or leaves the show permanently, or Amy is given the co-host job and the proper respect she deserves. So goodbye, Good Morning America. I can no longer stomach the Robin Roberts self-pity show, and I can no longer watch the slow flounder and drown, the show flounder and drown in producers' blatant stupidity. Hang in there, Amy. I wish you great success. Keep smiling that perfect winning smile, and you'll beat out all of your jealous teammates sitting next to you. Who will one day be announcing themselves as members of Team Amy. I am glad you are the only one who hasn't said a word about Robin. That shows that you are not a sycophant like the rest of Team Robin. And I suspect their concerned comments about about Robin are scripted. And don't join the kiss-up crew of idiots trying to win Robin's fans' affections. They will realize very soon that Robin has very few fans, and fewer every day, as this program format kills the show. Anyone watching the show now is tuning in to watch Amy, definitely not George or the other unmemorable members of Team Robin, and not Jessica Simpson. I can't believe many viewers will continue to tune in the show to hear the most recent updates on Robin's health every 5 minutes, or see pictures and video specials of her in a hospital bed with IVs in her arms. I know I won't. It'll be interesting to see if NBC hires Britney Spears to co-host with Matt Lauer, and if CBS hires Madonna as a co-host to transfuse some life into their morning show. So, anyway, that's if you're, you know, I wrote that on the 11th, but that's if you were at all interested in morning programming. I happen to tune it in at 7 o'clock and before I go to work, and you see this kind of thing. But having done television for many years, too, you know, you grow quite critical of bad programming, and you admire, you learn to admire certain people that are great, you know, on TV, and you know, there are many of those, but especially, I found that I had to state something on this one because it just made me so angry to watch a good show go bad because, you know, of you know, stupid producers. And I tuned it in today. Was it today or yesterday? I don't know if I watched it today. No, I think I watched it yesterday. And I noticed that it was much, much better. They had Amy as co-host, and they weren't screwing around every 5 minutes with some Robin Bull, even though they had her, still have her name up there. You know, they haven't given up on her yet, but, you know, it's Team Robin, which I think is ridiculous. But anyway, let's go on from here. As you know, the Barack Obama and Mitt Romney will be they'll be debating next week. Should be interesting. You know, I'm not sure. I guess Obama is getting way up there in the polls, and Mitt Romney is falling flat on his face in quite a few states, which is, you know, I don't mind because I can't stand Romney at all, which you probably know by now since, you know, I read that that article. But I wanted to read this particular piece tonight. And I wrote this back on September 8th. And it was called Obama... Obama is skywalking without a net, without a clue how to get back on the ground. Obama is skywalking without a net. Like the other 20 million or so, this was I wrote this after I watched his convention speech, which was pretty bad. Began other conflicts with Libya and Syria, retained all
rendition policies and did not close Gitmo or any other special prison set up by G.W. Bush. He continues to send ceaseless drone attacks over Pakistan. He continues to bow to the Israelis. He continues to allow the Republicans to install any intelligent legislation, and he allowed all the Bush criminals to walk away and all the bankers after they robbed the American taxpayer and government of trillions of dollars and wrecked the world economy. He reappoints Ben Bernanke as chairman of the Fed and keeps all the bumbling financial and military idiots in his cabinet and staff of advisors. He may be a hard-working president, but what I can't understand, nor it seems can anyone else, is what is he working at? I'm reminded of the great tightrope walker, Melinda, as he recently walked across Niagara Falls without a net. The only difference between Obama and Melinda is Melinda knew exactly what he was doing and calculated perfectly each move he had to make to accomplish his amazing feat. Obama makes things up as he goes, like his speech. And after the remarkable rhetoric heard by Bill Clinton and Michelle Obama, all he would have had to say was, listen to them. But instead, he felt he should recap what they said and try to be inspirational. They succeeded at the first and failed miserably at the second. The only thing in his election, in this election, that makes him electable is exactly what makes Romney unelectable. The fundamental belief of Romney and Republicans is the rich should get richer and the poor should get poorer. The fundamental belief of Obama is the poor should get richer and the rich should get poorer. And I see nothing wrong with Mr. Obama's basic ideal of the rich paying a greater percent taxes and the poor paying less. However, how hard is Mr. Obama really fighting for the poor and middle classes, considering he has refused to indict or punish any criminal banksters and Bush administration thugs who got the country into the greatest financial and military disasters we have ever been in? I loudly criticize G.W. Bush's use of executive orders and signing statements, but Mr. Obama has signed 943 executive orders since he has been in office for 3.5 years, which is more than G.W. Bush signed in his 8 years, horrid years in office. The destruction of our Constitution is nearly complete under Obama's presidency. Ironically, Obama was trained at Harvard Law as a constitutional lawyer. What began as outrageous attacks against our rights and freedoms under G.W. Bush's regime has taken on tyrannical proportions and censorships of news and the Internet. Rights of free speech and free assembly have been severely crippled under the Obama presidency. The Fourth Amendment right of warrants and protection against illegal searches and seizures has been completely ignored by Obama's administration. Jobs have been decimated under the current economic system. Actual unemployment in the U.S. is over 20%, surpassing that of the Great Depression. But what everyone seems to conveniently forget is that the U.S. now has over 300 million people, 200 million more than in 1929. 20% of 300 million is 60 million people. 25% of 100 million people is 25 million people. It would appear by proof of simple arithmetic that more than twice as many people today are unemployed as were in the height of the Great Depression. So where does that leave Mr. Obama? Where do we go from here? You're the great cheerleader of hope and change. Since you came into office, you have shattered the dreams and the hopes and dreams of tens of millions of homeowners who suffered or are foreclosures. So where does that leave us, Mr. Obama? Where do we go from here? We have violated the rights and hopes of all Americans who speak out against your incompetent policies and warmongering methods of dictatorial madness. Where is your leadership, Mr. Obama? I haven't seen it. I don't see it in your opponent either. All I see is the great void facing the American people. And unless you can miraculously part the sea of despair now drowning 99% of Americans, I see no future for you, Mr. President. I am horrified at the thought of a Romney presidency also. But it doesn't matter who wins the election, because regardless which one of you become America's leader, America will remain lost. Anyway. Back in August, August 30th, they had the GOP convention. I wrote a few articles that inspired me. And if anybody saw that convention, it was probably the worst I'd ever seen in my life. I watched quite a few of them over the many years. This one was called the GOP 2012 Convention. Excuse me, is infested with bush bugs, termites, and other invasive species. There is a bad infestation of bush bugs at the GOP convention. One of them gave a torturous rendition of her achievements as Secretary of State, wearing a Joker's smile and bright red lipstick. Then a video appeared of the two of the world's most hideous bush bugs, G.W. Bush and his father, G.H.W. Bush. Then came a frightening, long-winded speech by the legitimate rape of VP nominee, Paul Ryan. Wow, I was so scared I had to pull the sheets over my head to shut off the television. A sudden change in venue appeared last night when the bush bugs broke through the security barriers and invaded the GOP convention. It was first announced that no Bush administration members or family members would appear at the convention, but that could not keep out the nasty little creatures. Hurricane Isaac must have stirred up the creatures underground and brought them into the convention arena. There were other frightening creatures that surfaced in the arena as well. A heavy set and vicious animal with a semi-human appearance attacked the press corps and others in attendance as he jumped up on stage and began to growl into the microphone for 30 minutes. The beast was identified later as a rogue, a wild boar from New Jersey that became lost and disoriented and wandered down the east coast to the Florida Panhandle. And many at the convention were horrified by his presence when contrasted against the sedated, red-dressed female vulture capitalist who had just confessed her physical and mental weakness and apparent affection for her male vulture capitalist mate. Other less visible invaders were present at the convention arena. Termites were prevalent throughout the place as they ate away the GOP platform until it crumbled into splinters and collapsed. Tonight will be the last night of the convention when the vulture capitalist enters on stage to try and humanize himself to the American audience and to create a less frightening appearance to the GOP delegates. Though many were already stripped of their power and forced to nominate him as their leader, the skeletal remains of Ron Paul and his delegates will be hung throughout the arena as a warning to others who try to disrupt the GOP convention or try to publicly protest or heckle the vulture capitalist during his primetime speech. Between the bush bugs, the termites, the rogue New Jersey boar, the legitimate rape VP nominee, and the bright red-painted lip joker smile, big bush bug, and the hideous father and son bush bugs on a big screen, the red-dressed vulture capitalist female mate, and Hurricane Isaac roaring past the convention arena on its way to devastate New Orleans. All of these have so far created an absolutely frightening spectacle of a disastrous political convention. That is so true. That was probably the worst convention I've ever seen. Anyway. Now, if anybody remembers watching that convention, on the first day, I think it was the first day of the convention, the GOP Katrina convention, I wrote this article, a hurricane of Republican delusion. It was this on August 27th. On the same day as the delayed opening of the 2012 GOP convention in Tampa, Florida, in the 7th year anniversary of Katrina, a Cat 2 hurricane is about to descend upon the Gulf Coast. The irony of this cannot be ignored, nor can the absence of every member of the G.W. Bush administration at the GOP convention this year be ignored. One of the greatest failures of the G.W. Bush presidency and the action of the Republicans' held majority in Congress was their absolute failure to supply adequate aid to the cities and states devastated by Hurricane Katrina. An estimated 20,000 people are expected to attend the convention. No Tea Party celebrity was invited to speak, and Ron Paul was only allowed a videotaped speech. And the last announcement by the Ron Paul campaign was they expected to have an overwhelming presence at the convention. That is yet to be seen. It is questionable if any Ron Paul supporters or delegates were even allowed to attend the convention because of the GOP fear that they would cause a riot or a public protest against the party in Romney. Ah, the Republican masters of delusion must be shaking in their hips waiters now. Postponement of the GOP convention and its opening day expected on the 7th anniversary of Katrina has got to be a sign from God to send fear and doubt into the fundamentalist souls of the Republican delegates and give the American people a sign of heavenly disdain for the Republican Party. I am looking forward to watching the off-balanced beginning of the Tampa Convention. Latest news is that all the Republican governors and major politicians from the Gulf Coast region will not attend the convention so they can prepare for the coming hurricane about to hit their states. Also, they could not politically afford to be seen celebrating in Tampa as their states are assaulted by a Cat 2 hurricane. The frightening memory of Katrina is forever fixed in the minds of all Republican politicians as an unhealed wound on their already pathetic reputation. It will be interesting to see if Romney and Ryan mention cutting FEMA aid or Medicaid and Medicare and unemployment benefits in their nomination speeches, while millions of Americans on the Gulf Coast are being evacuated from the path of a hurricane. It will also be interesting to see if there is a sudden change in their public demeanors as hard-nosed, uncompassionate, tax-cutting conservatives to the liberal, moderate, kind, and compassionate conservatives. They're taking the chance of referencing G.W. Bush's campaign slogan in their speeches would be suicide for their campaign. The only choice they have is to ignore the storm and play to their base. However, since they have deliberately ignored the Tea Party, they no longer have a base. Their base now is the same one G.W. Bush called his base, which is the 1%. Who are feverishly funding Romney's campaign. So far, farewell, Republican Party, as you set adrift your convention flagship ship that will soon be devastated by hurricane winds and rain. and capsized by the storm waves of the American people's hatred for your candidates and policies as you sink into the depths of the sea of political contempt with all passengers lost. So much for the Republican hurricane. That's what I saw anyway. I don't know if anybody saw this, but I've seen Joe Biden back in, I believe it was August. Yeah, August. Last month, when he made his famous speech of unchained America, you know, from the banks. It was very funny. And it caught me, and I wrote an article called Biden Unchained. And it was this way. You have to admire Joe Biden for being one of the few politicians that says what he means. He's had to apologize a few times for his bluntness. However, this time, with his unchained comment, he struck a dagger into the hearts of the Republicans. Americans and people around the world have been chained to a fraudulent banking system and a greed-driven Congress that has been dominated for the past 2 years by conservative Republicans who want nothing more than to stall any progressive actions that might get the U.S. out of the hole we're in. I'm not a great fan of Obama or his advisory staff who have not prosecuted the banksters and have allowed gun running into Mexico and legalized illegal immigration and continued the expansion of wars around the planet, all without congressional or constitutional approval. However, I am less of a fan of the Republican Party and its current presidential candidate and VP candidate, and fear the potential harm that 4 years of Bush, Reagan, Romney, Ryan policies will doom this country and all middle-class Americans. Joe Biden did not go far enough in his speech. He should have said that we must not only chain banking systems, but put the fraudulent banksters and billionaires behind bars for maximum sentences. But as all political rhetoric during the campaign session is political rhetoric and has no bearing on actual policies once politicians are elected to office, I think Joe Biden should continue his blunt and very funny rhetoric and blast his Republican opponents as hard and as humorously as possible. Conservatives and Republicans have no sense of humor and are bullies who can't stand criticism, especially when the criticism is true. They name call and threaten their opponents and rig elections and blatantly cuss out hecklers and protesters, then run off the stage in fear. Then they get their pit bull pundits on Fox News to cry about the unfair attacks against them. And the entire political system in the U.S. is a hysterical farce. So why not have more rhetorical, comedic moments with Joe Biden? And Obama shouldn't hold back either. If they could make fun of Romney and Ryan and the entire Republican Party during the next 4 months, this election season could really be fun to watch. Right? At the Republicans all cry on stage and in Fox News interviews, and bring out their kids to cry with them. So my advice to Mr. Obama and Biden is to unchain themselves from their politically correct restraints and hit their opponents as hard as they can. Have their speechwriters punch up their speeches with humor and make as much fun of their ridiculous Republican opponents as possible. If they do this, I guarantee they will win this election and brighten up a bleak and boring political season. I think the Democrats should begin a Republican joke campaign on the blogosphere and select the best to put in their debates or campaign speeches. Be bold, be Biden-esque, be funny, and put the Republicans and their ridiculous policies, pundits, and politicians declaring a comedic light that deserves to be, they deserve to be in fear most. They really hate to be laughed at. Most people hate to be laughed at. But you know what?
There is a decent candidate.
don't stand a chance of being noticed, raising money, or getting local, state, or national media attention simply based on the fact that they are decent. Unless they are embroiled in scandal, corruption, or an outright lie and hypocrites. Outright liars and hypocrites, the media doesn't take notice of them. And the media assures the American public that whoever they elect for public office must be stained and tarnished or foolish or simply incompetent, with the system so rigged against any decent candidate being elected. I am announcing the end of my political career as a voter of undecent candidates. I will begin my search elsewhere for competent and decent candidates for political office and search for them in an alternate universe. Because they don't exist here. They definitely don't exist here. And I've got a few more minutes. I'm going to read this one tonight. And it's called The Ryan Romney Nightmare. And this was back in August 13th, when, they announced Romney announced Ryan as his VP choice. Paul Ryan is the GOP choice for vice president. I doubt if Romney really had a choice in this pick, and the media talking heads have stated that Romney really likes him. But the truth is, the Koch brothers actually really like him, and so do the madmen and women of the Tea Party. To the average American now coming down from their Olympic high and waterlogged patriotism, we are forced to concentrate on Romney's stellar choice for VP. Is it any wonder why he chose the day of the closing of the Olympics to announce his choice? It's a Republican kick in the groin to the moderate and liberal American public. I laughed at Obama's Romneyhood quote last week. The idea of giving to the rich and taking from the poor goes back to the days of feudalism and the theft of republicanism by the GOP. That is exactly what has been predicted for the New World Order agenda. Corporations rule the fiefdoms, and Masonic Knights and Illuminati Dragons rule the remaining ruins of the world after the World War and genocide of billions of people around the planet. What remains will be ruled by the elite 1% remaining, and possibly another 1% of the rest of us to do the grunt work of maintaining some form of civilization. Paul Ryan has made himself into a symbol of a cutthroat mentality of the GOP and their vulture capitalist president wannabe, Romney. It is time for all laid-back liberals and mealy-mouthed moderates to get mad enough to take a serious bite out of Washington Republicans and send them all back to the cages they escaped from. These vultures and hyenas have and will continue to bite the throats and suck the life out of the poor and middle-class Americans by taxing them to death and taking away all social services and safety nets for those already jobless, homeless, and in complete despair. May God damn all Ryan Romney-loving hypocrites, and may he put them in their pens with the other pigs of society. Let them swell the jails and federal prisons with their own fattened bodies and those of their corrupt families. It's time that they be forced to eat the patriotic slop they have puked out on at their own stump speeches. Unless real Americans, and not Tea Partiers, stand up and smack down Ryan and Romney in their stump speeches and Facebook and Twitter them into the dirt that is the Republican platform, we are destined to sleepwalk into the insane nightmare vision that is Ryan Romney and the Republican Party. Yeah. And with that, I'll end. www.voicefieldshow.org. There's a lot of stuff on here. I've got over 600 entries, videos, and all kinds of stuff. You know, so we can do that. I've got some George Carlin videos on here as well, and some musical videos. So please go to it, visit it, and spend a little time there and have a good time. It's really, you know, it's kind of fun. Pretty proud of it. Pretty proud of the Chicago site. So, a tremendous number of comments from different people around the world. We've developed a very large international audience. So I'm very grateful. I want to thank you again for joining me, and wish you the very best. And good night, everyone. See you next week. Don't forget, LAStudioShow.org.